Planet Oat Oat Milk is so rich and creamy.
I love it in my cereal, but also in smoothies.
With 0 grams of sugar in Planet Oat unsweetened varieties. But it gets even better. It's an excellent source of calcium with vitamins A and D that's delicious in everything. Mmm, including my lattes. Pick up the carton that has it all. Or visit planetoat.com for more. Planet Oat. Be good to you.
The Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The top United Nations court has ordered Israel to halt its military offensive in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Israel paying little attention, however, to that ruling from the International Court of Justice.
No one should be under any illusion. Israel is not about to halt its attack on a city it describes as the last stronghold of Hamas. For now, Mr. Netanyahu seems determined to press on.
That is BBC's Paul Adams talking about the Israeli offensive in Rafah. Former National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says terrorists around the world have been emboldened by U.S. weakness that was first put on display in President Biden's botched pullout from Afghanistan.
Kabul is a catastrophe, and it gave solace and buoyed up the spirits of all the terrorist organizations around the world, from the terrorist regime in Moscow to attacking Ukraine to Iran to the Hamas.
O'Brien was interviewed this week by the Salem Radio Network, and this is SRN News.
They fought on distant shores and in distant lands. They put their life on the line to protect us. For our country, they made the ultimate sacrifice. This weekend, we honor and celebrate the men and women who've fought and died for this country. Their sacrifice has made a sometimes dark world a little brighter. Have a blessed Memorial Day weekend. AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
When you get nachos, tacos, empanadas, spicy queso with jalapenos, Pepto-Bismol's there. Pepto-Bismol provides fast, effective relief from nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, and diarrhea. All the things that can happen unexpectedly on vacation. So before you travel, pack the Pepto. Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea,
use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I'm thrilled to share why Heritage Christian Academy holds a special spot in my heart. My wife, Holly, and I met at Heritage back in 7th grade, started dating in high school, got married, and have 3 kids. We appreciate and realize the sacrifices our parents made to send us to Heritage Christian Academy. The teachers, staff, and liberal arts Christ-centered education is top-notch. Our 3 daughters are so loved by their teachers and have developed deep friendships at school. They spend time every day with their peers, praying together and growing in a personal relationship with Jesus. Heritage Christian Academy has allowed our kids to discover their unique talents and God-given gifts. We really value the focus on character development. Heritage Christian Academy seeks to educate a generation of Christian leaders and is doing a wonderful job of it. We as parents are grateful to be able to partner with them in educating our girls. Discover for your own family Heritage Christian Academy in Maple Grove. Learn more at heritageweb.org. That's heritageweb.org.
Need a roof? JTR Roofing. Need siding? JTR Roofing. How about windows? JTR Roofing. Call JTR Roofing for any of your home exterior needs. Serving the Twin Cities area in western Wisconsin, JTR Roofing is your one-stop shop for all things exterior. Residential or commercial, big or small, JTR Roofing has you covered. And don't let the name fool you. While they're experts in roofing, JTR Roofing also specializes in storm and hail damage repair. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Their name's not big enough because their services aren't limited to just roofs. They'd rather have a name that's too small than a price that's too big. For a free estimate, go to jtrroofinginc.com. That's jtrroofinginc.com. JTR Roofing, where quality meets versatility.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Kerry Galvin. Welcome to Open Your Eyes Radio. Please listen as I discuss the newest information in the world of health, nutrition, and sports every Saturday morning, 6 a.m. Central Time on AM 1280, The Patriot. Also, please share your thoughts by emailing me at drkerrygelb@gmail.com. That's drkerryGelb @gmail.com. And visit my new website, wellness1280.com, where all the guest links and information and previous shows are located. Slowing aging has eluded humans since the beginning of time. The emerging field of anti-aging and regenerative medicine focuses on understanding and treating root causes of the aging process. The goal is to extend patients' lifespans while promoting better health outcomes and a higher quality of life. Today's guest, Colorado physician, Dr. Elizabeth Yerth, MD. Dr. Yerth is the co-founder of Boulder Longevity Institute and Human Optimization Academy. Dr. Yerth is double board certified in physical medicine and rehabilitation and anti-aging regenerative medicine. Dr. Yerth reads up to 3 hours of research a day, and she does this because she wants to be the best doctor she can to help our patients. And she works with high-level athletes and has lectured at Mr. Olympia. Her goal is to provide her patients with the best options available, helping her patients age slower and healthier. Dr. Yerth, thank you for joining me today.
I really appreciate you having me here. Thank you.
I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm very interested in cellular medicine. And, you know, I think conventional medicine is way behind. And, you know, there's been research that it takes about 17 years of research before it actually hits the regular medical community. And you're trying to shorten that with your academy and teaching physicians. And I'm just so interested. But before we get into peptides and stuff, I'm very interested in Mr. Olympia. I've lifted weights my whole life. I could see that you exercise quite a bit, go to the gym. And what was it like to lecture at Mr. Olympia? And what can we learn from the bodybuilders?
You know, it's very interesting because the bodybuilders probably got into this peptide, you know, hormone optimization world way before, you know, medicine kind of fell behind. In fact, when I first got into this field, boy, now, you know, over 20 years ago, a lot of what I started to learn about hormone and hormone optimization actually came from my bodybuilder world. And, you know, and these guys, because they, you have to have it down to a science. How do I eat perfectly to have the best optimization? Now, obviously, it's, you know, not everybody's doing it in a healthy way, but we're getting a little bit more of a trend that way, even in the bodybuilding world, is how do you do this human optimization in a healthy fashion, right? And that's where kind of combining this world, what Mr. Olympia decided to do a while ago, a guy named Michael Polinari, who is a PhD, actually started working, he's a big bodybuilder guy, he started working with Mr. Olympia and saying, hey, let's work with this medical side, working together with these bodybuilders and education side. And so it's a really cool thing they've been doing now for a few years, which is kind of operating these courses within the Mr. Olympia that people can come to. So, you know, most of the spectators, obviously not the guys who are performing, but the, you know, who are, but, you know, this group of people who are very into this, how do they learn sort of some of the science side behind it a little bit more? But it is amazing to me that, you know, that so much, if you want to be, like, listen to the guy who coaches the strongman. He's a great lecturer. To be a strongman, you have to optimize your nutrition to the point where you peak right when you're doing this one massive lift, right? You know, so everything has to be so perfect as to what you eat when, to exact time it so you don't eat and then crash right when you need to go push a giant boulder up a hill. So it's very, very cool the way they've taken this and put it into a practical format. And now we, you know, and now we can kind of combine the two. So it's been actually a really fun experience. So that's in October, guys. If and we'll be doing that again this October at the Olympia. We'll be having a sort of a Mr. Olympia course. It's called Olympia Academy. So courses that will be go along. And this year it's done with more panel formats with just doctors and people who are sort of experts in this community. But it's kind of a cool thing to see these worlds collide.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, I'm very interested in this cellular medicine that you work with, and that understanding the processes of the way the cell works. Before we get into peptides, and as we age, you know, we lose our hormones, we lose our peptides. The body makes about 7,000 peptides, and people don't even think about peptides. You know, they think about hormones a little bit, but they don't even think about peptides. For one thing, I want to ask you, why do you think general medicine, and this is a tough question because I really don't like when patients ask me, why didn't this doctor do this and why didn't this doctor do that? But I know people are going to be thinking about this. Why isn't peptide really part of general medicine other than, you know, insulin and now the semaglutides? But in general, why aren't doctors even in tune to this?
You know, that is a hard question to answer because we have so many really cool things that we can do for patients. And it was funny. I was taking care of just yesterday a professional football player who came to us, and because he was really exasperated. He's a young guy. He already has a horrible hip arthritis, and everybody that he's, and these are the guys who are working with the professional football players, right? You would think, oh, they have all the latest and best, and they actually don't. You know, they basically offer the same things that everybody else is getting, you know, and then when he wasn't doing well, they were threw up their hands and said, well, maybe you can't play football anymore. And the guy's 24 years old, and that's the last thing he wants to hear. So he started researching himself and came up with, wow, there is other things out there. How do I find somebody who does this? And we actually do some really novel things with largely repurposed drugs, things like that, like a drug pentosan, which is an amazing drug for arthritis. And he starts researching himself, and he found this drug, and he's like, oh my gosh, this looks like a godsend. And so he found us. But it's not, you know, and then when he went back to his trainers and his doctors, who are the team doctors for these football players, and he said, oh, I really want to try this drug. They're like, we don't know anything about it. You know, we don't want to do that. So, you know, why is that? Here's an amazing drug. It's available in other countries. Why does nobody want to do it? You know, part of me is it's a little bit like you spend a lot of years in medicine. You know, 4 years of medical school, and then 6 years of residency, and then a fellowship. So you've now just invested 12 years of your life or more learning this stuff. And now somebody comes along and goes, oh, everything you're actually doing is wrong. Sort of like you just built this magnificent house, and then somebody came into it and goes, wow, I hate this. So you have to kind of put away a lot of pride and a lot of feeling like maybe there was some wasted time. And say, okay, I need to learn something new. But that's a really hard thing to do because you're making a good living, right? You're doing well, doing what you're doing. People are, you know, you're making enough money. Why should I go spend time learning something new?
Yeah, rather than learning from the drug reps.
Yeah, yeah.
Because putting 3 hours a day into
right, and you have to do that because the researchers are aware that they're the guys who know. So we have to find that research and then figure out how we can implement it into our practice. And that's what we do a lot of is, you know, oh, wow, this is a really cool thing. They're using it in Asia. Why can't we use it here? And then we find a pharmacist who will work with us to make it. And we could, as you said, take 17 years for something to come to market. We can shorten that time period down to a few years.
I think it's interesting that you brought up pentosan because for cystitis, inflamed bladders, because orally it could cause problems in the eye. Me being an eye doctor,
right. You
know, macular edema, cystoid macular edema, but you're talking about injecting the pentosan.
And at a much lower dose. And even orally, I mean, Terry, when you look at the data on the eye pathology, it's at it was only after about 15 years of use that people on Elmeron for bladder cystitis developed any of these. And it was a very, very small number of people. I mean, if you look at I have a lecture that I talked about this, it's actually a very small number of people. But that was at reaching a very high dose. So Elmeron's a 500 milligram dose of this drug. We're using, you know, on a daily basis over 15 year periods that people have to develop this. But even oral pentosan at a very tiny dose, 25 milligrams, is anti-cancer, anti viral, has great gut properties. So we've even used it orally for some other disorders. And then injectable, you can use a very, very tiny dose for arthritis. And the injectable dose, it would take you, even if you ever got to doses that cause macular degeneration, it would take about 90 years. So
I think the study showed 500 grams. I mean, that would take a very
right. Exactly. So it takes a lot of this drug cumulatively to cause those effects. So the drug, unfortunately, is a really good drug that got kind of bastardized by, you know, by the eye pathology. I mean, it's still widely used in other countries, and here there's lots.
We're coming up to a break. I want to thank Dr. Elizabeth Yerth for spending time with us today. We'll be back right after the break, and we're going to talk about peptides, especially everybody's favorite ones now, the semiglutides. We'll be right back.
Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Carrie Gelb.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
For anyone living with everyday aches and pains, I've got a question. What are you missing out on? What are you not doing that you wish you were? What would you do if you felt better? The answer is likely a lot. That's why I want to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it's been incredibly effective, even life-changing for so many people. Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. In about 3 weeks, you'll know if it's working because you'll feel the difference all day, every day. Whether it's your neck, back, joints, or muscle pain, if you're looking to feel better, live better. Give Relief Factor a try. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800 the number for relief and save on your first order. That's 1-800 the number for relief. Here's to less missing out and more living life with Relief Factor.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Carrie Gelb.
We're back with Dr. Elizabeth Yerth on AM 1280 The Patriot and wellness1280.com. So if you want to go and find out all kinds of information about our guests, go to wellness1280.com. You could see our documentary, Open Your Eyes, on Apple TV, Amazon Prime. So Dr. Yerth, we're talking about anti-aging medicine, and we're going to talk about peptides in a minute. There's a lot of money going into anti-aging medicine. But before we get that straight, there are certain things that are usually recommended. If you could go over what we want to clean up first before we even get into the peptides.
Diet, you know, a big part of how do we delay aging, extend health span, right? Extend lifespan and health span would be our goal. But it's replacing what you lose, right? So you mentioned hormones. You can't really stay healthy without hormones. we need estrogen for the brain. You know, we need testosterone for muscle and for libido and every, you know, everything else that sort of keeps us alive and healthy. So I think that that replacing what is lost is a very, very important piece. And so, you know, simply hormone and nutrient optimization always is that first pillar. Get your hormones back to where they need to be, have them in the right ratio. Men and women all need the same hormones. Estrogen, progesterone, testosterone are all, they're all needed by both sexes. We sort of forget about everything. When women, we forget about testosterone. When men, we forget about estrogen. They're critically important. So that's kind of, you know, that pillar one. And then obviously it's the stuff you guys all know. I mean, exercise. There's, if somebody asked me if there it was one pill I could take that would, that and that's all I could do was one pill, it would be exercise. I mean, that exercise is the one thing that will probably do the most for extending health span. And that's because when we contract muscle, we make these things called myokines. And myokines are really important. They're basically cytokines or proteins that are produced by myocytes, by the muscle cells, when you contract muscle. And they are not only important for muscles, they're important for bones, they're important for brain, they're important for endocrine function, they're important for immune function. So these myokines that are released when we exercise have all these far-reaching benefits that you don't even know about. You know, we sort of think, oh, we want to be strong, but it's a lot more than that. So you've got to exercise. So I think that's, you know, those are the simple things: sleep, exercise, obviously, you know, staying away from processed foods and all those kinds of things. So those are the simple things. But the, in that replace what you lose, you know, starting out with the nutrients and hormones and then getting into peptides. Because we, as you said, we make peptides. And just like hormones, our peptides decline as we age. We make less and less of these vital little proteins, little tiny proteins that are really critical to our longevity.
So if you look at what peptides are, if you could tell us what peptides are, how they are different than proteins.
So peptides basically are small chains of amino acids. So a protein is over 50 amino acids, a peptide is less than 50 amino acids. And it might be as few as 2 amino acids. So anywhere from 2 to 50 is going to be a peptide, and from 50 on will be a protein. So really it's a little bit semantic, but they actually have very different functions in that because of their size, peptides have they can insert themselves into genome and modify things even at a genetic level. They have very specific little receptors that have very specific jobs when they, so once they're released, like insulin, you eat glucose. Insulin is a peptide that appears, it tells glucose to go into the cell. So we have peptides that our gut makes that are critical to healing. We have peptides that our mitochondria make that are critical to us making new mitochondria and getting stronger. So basically these peptides are, they perform functions from regulating hormone production to immune system regulation to muscle and preventing neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. They're really far reaching and we can use them. You know, we have to replace what's lost, but we can also specifically upregulate them a little bit to actually have very specific purposes.
Now, what foods do we eat that will turn into peptides?
Well, obviously, when you eat meat, any steak, amino acids, right? So when you're eating protein, that will get broken down to some degree into certain peptides, but not some of the peptides that we're thinking about that are actually made. So there are certainly certain peptides that like you can just take arginine glycine is a peptide put together, and I will break down arginine glycine when I eat whey protein. So basically, there are certainly peptides that are formed simply by us eating foods. Most of those fall into what we call the bioregulator peptides. So bioregulator peptides are smaller chains, because when we eat food, we can't really keep a long chain because that gets digested. So really only short chains remain. So if I eat a steak, which has multiple amino acid chains in it, then it will be broken down into 2 or 3 peptide chains. And those are what we call peptide bioregulators. And peptide bioregulators, and there's other ones besides just things you can get from food, but the peptide bioregulators are a little different in that they're small, very small peptides, and they can be used to really regenerate organs. And the peptide bioregulators can actually be taken orally. So most peptides cannot. Because when you eat peptides, they become broken down, right? But bioregulators, because there are only a few amino acids, can actually be taken orally. So there's a slew of these peptide bioregulators that can be used to help adrenal function or thyroid function or gonadal function. So the bioregulators fall into a little different category in that they are these very small peptides that can be taken orally versus most peptides, which not all, but most have to be done as an injection.
You know, there's a big push away from, you know, the certain community on you know, I guess on the internet of physicians and nutrition people who are saying we're eating way too much protein. But if we don't eat enough protein, we're not going to be able to make the peptides. We're even losing them anyway when we're getting older. So is that a good advice, not to eat a lot of protein?
I think that what you have to think about with protein is that we need a lot of protein for muscle. We need a lot. I mean, I'm only about 130 pounds, so I'm not a huge person, but I aim for 130 grams of protein. So basically, the key is you absolutely have to be protein forward for muscle. And muscle is a very, as we talked about with these myokine production, muscle is a key marker of longevity. So we know as we age, we become sarcopenic, we lose muscle. We become sarcopenic, we can't move, we can't get up out of a chair. So basically, if you are protein deficient, and most of our population is, especially women as they age, are protein deficient, you will find it almost impossible to form muscle. I think where the data is going to end up with this is high protein diets going to move us forward in aging more rapidly. And that comes to that whole mTOR, AMPK balance. So with these two sort of, these two competing pathways, mTOR is our sort of muscle building growth pathway. AMPK, I like to think about mTOR as your bodybuilder and AMPK as your endurance athlete, right? So in general, you know, AMPK is going to be the carrier for a long life. And mTOR would be strength, and everything that sort of power through. And you want those kind of balance. So when we eat protein, we're moving up mTOR like this, right? So if we are always in an mTOR-induced state, then I will probably have a shorter life. If my mTOR is doing this, which is really probably what you need to do, so you're balancing it back out and you're playing this game, mTOR up, mTOR down, AMPK up, AMPK down, that is probably the key to living a long, not just long life, but a long, healthy life with a lot of muscle mass, with feeling good, with feeling like you're 100 and can still climb a mountain. So if I eat protein, you know, and I upregulate mTOR, then I need to take times when I'm downregulating mTOR. I need to do things where I'm not, where I maybe do a little bit less protein in my diet, or I eat less caloric intake for a while, or I use biohacks like things like rapamycin, which we can get to later, to actually turn down mTOR periodically. But that's the key. I think you've got to always sort of think of this game you're playing between pushing growth up and then balancing it back out.
Thanks for that. And let's talk about the semaglutide peptides, something that people know about before we get into ones that people have never heard about. You know, semaglutides have been, you know, which is your Ozempic, your Wegovy, Mounjaro, and even the oral one, Rybelsus now. They're compounding Rybelsus and where you could actually spray it into your mouth a couple times a week. So, but it's been getting a lot of bad press, the semaglutides. Every time you put on, you know, you look on the internet, all your hair is all these terrible things that's happening with Ozempic and Mounjaro. But I got to tell you, I see patients all the time that are on these drugs, and I've seen miracles with their blood tests, with their labs. They've done great with these drugs. So maybe these people aren't really using them, or there's a couple people that do have some, I'm sure, have some bad side effects. But let's talk about some of the positive. They actually looked at these drugs for dementia. Tell me about the semaglutides.
This is what we call GLP-1 or glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor agonists, meaning they accelerate GLP-1 receptors or turn them on. And we've been using GLP-1 receptor agonists like semaglutide for years before they became popular, for every other purpose under the book. In my mind, they might be the ultimate longevity drug because they work on every single organ system. You have GLP-1 receptors on your immune cells, on your liver, on your kidney, on your brain. So when you accelerate GLP, you are actually, there's a very big cardioprotective effect. They improve congestive heart failure patients' lives. They have a kidney protective effect. They can help with liver. So people who have elevated liver enzymes or fatty liver disease, you're right there. In phase 4 trials for dementia. So basically, they're phase four means they've already, you know, safety profiles there. They've been proven efficacious for dementia. Now they have to do the final studies. These will be in the mainstay for treating, and I think probably one of the best treatments for dementia. So GLP-1 agonists are hugely beneficial. And in my mind, I think everybody should be on them. Now, the problem is if you get on a therapeutic dose for weight loss, you're going to just keep losing weight, and that might be a problem. So what we do with to get its other benefits without weight loss is you just use a lower dose. You microdose it, use it at a much smaller dose. So at a small dose, you can get all of these tremendous benefits. Again, I do a small dose of semaglutide for my brain. I have a mother who died of dementia. I do not want to.
We're going to stop right there because we're going to be back right after the break. This is Dr. Kerry Gill with Dr. Elizabeth Earth.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Kerry Gill.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
It's our spring sale at Master Pool and Spa. Now is the best time to buy. You'll save up to 30 to 60%. Get quick professional delivery and 0% financing. We have spas for any backyard or budget. Huge variety of sizes and features. Choose from one of our in-stock spas or build-to-order a custom spa. We're locally owned and family run for over 20 years. Come in today and tap into our expertise to assist you in choosing the perfect spa for your family. You won't find any of those imported knockoffs here. All our spas are built in the USA with full nationwide warranties. Build an outdoor oasis and save thousands without the expense and maintenance of a pool. Spend more quality family time together while melting the stress away. Transform your backyard in one day and save up to 60% off at our spring sale. Visit Master Pool and Spa, 394 Louisiana, St. Louis Park. Call 952-253-0665. 952-253-0665. Be sure to tell them you heard it on The Patriot.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Kerry Gelb.
We're back with Dr. Elizabeth Yerth. She's the Chief Medical Officer of Boulder Longevity Institute. So if you're interested in becoming a patient, you could call her office. I mean, she has amazing things to tell us. I call her the Doctor of Pearls. Being a doctor, we're always looking for pearls. And Dr. Yerth, this gives us one pearl after another. I've never seen anybody that's so well-read that is able to take the research, assimilate it, and make it so people could understand it. And when she's talking about, even a lot of doctors don't know what she's going to be talking about in just a little bit. But let's finish with the semaglutides. Do you have a favorite? Is it Mounjaro? Is it Ozempic? And have you ever used the Rybelsus orally compounded?
Rybelsus, you know, has been around for a long time. I actually used to use it orally before we had the injectables for patients. I actually don't think it's quite as effective. And I know that they're now working with the you know, trochees and sprays sublingually. I have a good friend who's a pharmacist. Maybe effective, certainly not nearly as effective as the injectables are. You know, between, so when we look at Mounjaro is tirzepatide, Wegovy and Ozempic are semaglutide. And tirzepatide is, and they're very similar, except that tirzepatide has a GLP-1 and a GIP, so it has a few less side effects, and it's probably more effective for weight loss. I tend to use more semaglutide purely for the reason it's a little less expensive, and these are expensive drugs. Even best case scenario, we get them compounded. They're still not cheap drugs, and so I tend to use semaglutide. But if I have a patient who's not doing well on semaglutide, too many side effects, I will use tirzepatide. From a long-term perspective of its other benefits, small dose, microdosing for preventative of cardiac disease or neurodegenerative diseases, I usually use semaglutide, simply favorite because of cost.
And when you talk about microdosing for semaglutide, it's either 0.25 or 0.5. Are you going lower than 0.25?
I even, some people go to like a 0.1 milligram, dose on some people. You don't need a lot to get some of the benefits. So you can even microdose. I will do 0.1 milligrams usually twice a week. So when you're doing some of the other organ system benefits, probably a twice a week dosing is a little bit better. So microdose twice a week is probably a better regimen for those people. But I encourage you guys, try to put aside that, yes, do these drugs have side effects? When you're at weight loss doses, you can get GI flows down, so you can get constipation, people get reflux. There are side effects. Usually the microdosing, not much. But these drugs have been so bastardized, and I hate it because these are so beneficial. And not only to mention from the weight loss realm, I've been in practice 30 years. I have patients who I've never been able to get to lose weight, and I finally have them down to a good, healthy weight. So I think these drugs have unfortunately, the press, the press loves negative press that sells. So, the positive, all the positive benefits people don't know about. And I listen to the doctors like you. I listen to doctors talk about it, and I cringe because they really don't understand the cellular pathways that GLP-1 agonists are working on. It's why you have to understand what you're doing with these drugs, not just, they're used for weight loss. They must be bad.
I mean, you have to talk to a doctor that uses it on patients. Have you seen any really bad side effects from it on any of your patients?
I have not, although I was just doing a procedure at the hospital the other day, and one anesthesiologist was telling me that they've had a couple, that if people don't stop the drug a week before surgery, usually have people fast for 24 hours before surgery. People still actually at 24 hours still had food in their stomach, and they've had a couple cases where people have actually aspirated because they hadn't digested foods, digested so slowly. So that would be a cautionary tale for those of you who are taking it. If you're going to have a procedure where you're going to have an anesthesia, you would have to be off it for a week because of just the slow digestion. But we've not really seen any significant bad side effects aside from some nausea that, is usually dealable once people get used to the drugs.
And any risk with cancer or cancer patients or...
In most cancers, the GLP-1s are actually probably beneficial for cancer. The one cancer is thyroid, which is still a very debatable topic. It probably is actually not thyroid medullary cancer, which is the contraindication to these drugs. They're trying to actually look into that more and see if they can remove that. But right now, that is the contraindication is thyroid medullary cancer.
So let's move on. There's this big gland in our chest, the thymus gland. And let's talk about immune peptides.
Yeah.
And what does the thymus gland do? And let's talk about the peptides it makes. And what can the peptide do? Because as we get older, that thymus gland kind of shrinks and
shrinks down in all of us, right? So basically, I'm glad you brought this up because this is how I look at aging, is what systems are really failing that are going to kill us. And probably the number one system that fails as we age is our immune systems. If you look at what most people die of, cancers, a viral infection. So even if you have, you have cancer, a lot of what actually kills these people is they get a superseded infection, a virus infection. If you look at the people who died of COVID, the elderly population died of COVID, they cannot mount immune response. So a lot of people believe that probably the number one system that is failing us and causing all the age-related diseases is the immune system. So how do we tackle that? Because the thymus gland is this huge gland in our chest. When you're a baby, you've got this giant gland. If you do an x-ray of a baby's chest, big mass sitting there. And then it gets smaller and smaller. Well, it grows until puberty. So actually our best immune system is right about puberty, and then it actually starts involuting its strength. It just gets smaller, and by the time you're old like me, it actually is really just a little fatty nub. There's not much activity of it, a little bit, but not much. So thymic evolution has been, something all the longevity enthusiasts have been looking at. In France, that's why they eat sweetbreads, right? Sweetbreads are thymus gland. They're saying, well, if I eat thymus, then it should have some benefit. And maybe it does, because if you look at the bioregulator peptides, if you look at thymic bioregulators, they are just sort of ground up thymus. So basically we could rejuvenate the thymus, and people are, in the longevity world trying to think about, well, can we transplant pieces of baby thymus to us as adults? There's a lot of wacky stuff going on in this world, but right now what we know is that we can give back some of the things that will encourage the thymus. So thymus is making, it's telling your T lymphocytes what to do. Without a thymus gland, your T lymphocytes are sort of like soldiers. I always think about it as your T lymphocytes are these soldiers who have just gone into the army, and they're armed with all their guns and everything, and they have to have somebody tell them where to go and what to do. You know, the thymus gland, now you have these soldiers out there with their guns, and they don't really know what to do. So what do you see? They start shooting you. So now you have autoimmune disease. They don't know who the bad guys are, so the bad guys take over. So basically, without a thymus gland, we're sort of in this rampant immune dysfunction state. So how do we fix that? And that's where peptides can really become beneficial, right?
And the T cells, fight infection and cancer.
Right. Cancer, so, right. They're your cancer fighting cells, your natural killer cells or T cells. If you have a vaccine, you have to have a T cell response to make antigen or antibodies.
And we need it for healing. So talk about thymosin alpha 1 and TB4, thymosin beta 4. Talk about those two peptides.
So these are what are called thymic peptides. So if we don't have a thymus gland, what can we do? Let's give back some of the things the thymus gland was doing that was educating my immune system. If I can't make my thymus regrow, I can at least give back what it's not doing. Just like as you're aging and you don't have testicular function or ovarian function, I can give back the hormones, right? So even though my ovaries aren't working, I can give back the hormones. If my thymus isn't working any longer, I can give back the peptides that the thymus is making. And two of the most famous are thymus and alpha 1 and thymus and beta 4. And thymus alpha 1 is basically comes from the thymusin hormone. And it's probably the most important of the thymic peptides in terms of really teaching our immune system. So promoting T cell activity. And it's super immune modulatory. So it's very, very useful in autoimmune disease. It's very, very useful in viruses. So we used very high doses of this in COVID in our patients because it would help you to mount an immune response. It is actually available in other countries, particularly they use a lot of it in India and Asia, as a drug called Zadaxin. So it actually is an approved drug in other countries as Zadaxin. So it's not this, here in the US, like, oh, people can't have thymus and alpha 1. It's a peptide. We don't know anything about it. It's a widely used approved drug in other countries. So if you are undergoing chemotherapy, or if you have, you're older and have a vaccine, or if you get a virus, you will be treated with thymus and alpha 1 if you're in India or Asia, not here. And here we don't do it. So we can get thymus and alpha 1, but it's becoming a more and more and more difficult peptide to get, unfortunately. And that is the master peptide for mounting an immune response. And so it's really a critical player here. And then you've got thymus and beta 4. So that basically is another immune modulatory peptide. I like to think of it more as it actually is a pro-inflammatory, it sort of transcribes pro-inflammatory cytokines. So it's actually more of the balancing, modulating the production of these cytokines. So it also has its immune modulatory properties, a little less immune stimulatory. It also has a lot more repair abilities. So it's actually very paramount to angiogenesis. So we can actually make some new blood vessels. So if you're trying to heal, for instance, a wound, or if you had a tendon injury or a joint injury, thymus and beta 4 would become very beneficial there because it actually helps to modulate that healing process really well. So we use thymus and beta 4 a lot more in our musculoskeletal world. In my orthopedic world, I use a lot of thymus and beta 4. And interesting, in your world, Carrie, thymus and beta 4 is actually available as a drug. For the eye drop, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's
non-healing corneal ulcers,
right? Or for dry eyes, it's amazing dry eyes, right? So we actually get it compounded as an eye drop for dry eyes, and it's absolutely amazing for those dry eyes. So, yeah, thymosin beta 4 is actually, again, here it is, this drug for one thing, and yet it's not, you know, the FDA tries to keep it away from us, but it's a really powerful tissue protective healing peptide. So I like to think about thymosin alpha 1 as getting my T lymphocytes back in order, and thymosin beta 4 is that more healing peptide.
And if you're going to inject it, where is it injected? Say you have a non-healing ulcer on your leg, would it be next to the, or still in your gut?
These work systemically. You really don't need to inject them right near the site. The only peptide that probably works better when you have an injury being injected close to the site is BPC-157.
We'll be back right after the break with Dr. Elizabeth Neary. Thank you for joining us.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Carrie Gelb.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Get the most popular American-made straight stair lift now for half off. Bruno's Elan is a mix of stylish design, high-quality functionality, and ease-of-use operation. With a narrow vertical rail design, the Bruno Elan straight indoor stair lift leaves plenty of open space on the steps for family members. Retails for $4,500, but can be yours for $2,250. Limited inventory available. Call the station for details at 651-405-8800 or find it online at mndeals.com.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Carrie Gelb.
We're back with Dr. Elizabeth Yerth. We're learning so much about peptides. We're on the thymus peptides. We were talking about thymosin beta 4. Now, talk to me, is there a little bit about anything with cardiac function that it preserves?
So this is a really good peptide for people who have, so we've been using this a lot in our myocarditis, or sort of COVID myocarditis patients. Really helpful for again, think of it as a reparative peptide, the same way you talked about for the eyes, for corneal ulcers, right? If I have pulmonary fibrosis, cardiac fibrosis, or, you know, myocarditis, where I have, so where I have to really heal tissue. This is the peptide you want to bring into play. It reduces something called nuclear factor kappa beta, which is really elevated in these disorders. And when you reduce that, you can actually start this more healing response. So it has an anti-fibrotic property that's very, very useful. It's one of the few things that we've actually found in people who have idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis that you can utilize. And it's been a godsend for us. And some of, I have some young myocarditis patients since our new world of post-COVID. And this has been one of the peptides that's been super helpful in that group of patients.
And how about strokes?
That's the metaphorio again. If you think about angiogenesis, I need new blood flow. I need more blood flow. I need healing. And because of the angiogenic property of thymosin beta 4, if you can start it immediately after a stroke, a friend of mine actually was having a stroke and he's a big peptide guy. He had thymosin beta 4 in his freezer. So like first thing he did, he obviously went to the hospital. But first thing he did was he grabbed his thymosin beta 4 out of the freezer, and took it with him and started, injecting himself with thymosin beta 4. And it probably made his whole course much better. But it's again, if immediately we want to restore blood flow if I have a stroke, right? And so basically, if I can get on thymosin beta 4 almost immediately after the stroke. Now again, the problem is that how many of you have thymosin beta 4 sitting around your freezer? And then once you get to the hospital, nobody's going to give it to you. So I have my little frozen pack of if anything bad happens, take this to me, so my family knows to bring it to the hospital and just inject me and not let the doctor see. So, because the faster you can start it, but it can also be helpful, like post brain injury, concussions, and strokes. You can utilize it then again as a reparative peptide after the fact too.
I know this is kind of a basic question, a silly question in a way, but a lot of people are afraid of needles. What gauge needle did people really feel the injection?
It's so tiny, guys. I mean, it's an insulin syringe, So you basically got, a little. I always have my needles here. So they're basically these little insulin syringes, right? So your needle tip is literally almost the size of a hair. You could hardly feel it. We have people who've never given themselves injections and they're terrified. And there's nobody who we've not gotten where, oh, that was nothing.
So I have to move next to the Wolverine peptide, BP-157. This peptide is amazing. Tell us about this.
It is amazing. It may be my favorite peptide. So BPC-157, and oftentimes it's used in conjunction when you talk about the Wolverine stack. And again, healing like a Wolverine, it's like, remember Wolverine, something gets cut off, it just regrows. If you use BPC-157 together with thymosin beta-4, that's called the heal like a Wolverine stack. And that's what we use post-surgery on our patients. That's what we use post-injury on our patients. We will start them as soon as possible on BPC and thymosin beta-4. And that's true if you have a joint injury or a tendon injury, that these are super protective. And again, cardiac and other things too. But BPC stands for Body Protective Compound 157. And it's one of the peptides, like the thymic peptides, that you make. When you guys get scared of these peptides because some doctor has said, oh, those are, wacky. These are things that our body makes. So BPC is a protein that's made by the gut. Or peptide that's made by the gut, and its role is to induce healing and reduce inflammation. So it stimulates tissue repair and regeneration. So if I have an injury, let's say even in the gut, I get an ulcer or something irritates my gut, the first thing that's going to happen is my own BPC is going to go there to start initiating an anti-inflammatory response, to start an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory response to start that healing process going. And then it will also travel to other places, right? So if I hurt my shoulder, the BPC will get there. Now, as we age, look at little kids, they heal really fast. We don't. So if as we age, much like the hormones and the thymic peptides, we have less BPC. We just don't heal as well. And so BPC is probably my favorite peptide because it's you can use it for almost anything because it is, think about it as your ultimate anti-inflammatory restorative peptide. It's very neuroprotective. They did a great little study on mice where they gave them BPC and they dropped a little weight on their heads. The mice who had BPC in their system when the weight was dropped on their head had very little injury. The mice who were not on BPC and had a weight dropped on their head had severe brain injury, could not actually learn to do a maze again, even with extended time. So we know it's very neuroprotective. In my world, all the football players, all these athletes, all the soccer players should be taking BPC-157 because were getting these chronic traumatic brain injuries, and this would be so protective to them. And yet it's a banned substance, even though it has no, it's not going to increase performance. It's a banned substance by WADA, which torments me. But so think about it. You can use it for reparative for the brain. You can use it for musculoskeletal injuries. And it's great for gut because, again, that's where it's made. So if you have ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, ulcers, really good repair. Is one of the few peptides that can be taken orally. So BPC, I think it's a little better for joint stiff injectable, but for gut, it is amazing orally. It does a very, very nice job if you have gastritis issues, anything like that, just taking BPC orally. So it's very simple to take orally and widely available orally. We actually have something called Guttides that one pharmacist makes. It's a combination of BPC and another peptide called KPV, which is a fragment of melanocortin, and those two together have a very nice effect for healing the gut for people. And, you know, the gut is, as you guys know, now becoming more and more paramount in every other disease state, including brain disease, neurodegenerative disease, cancers. We know that the gut health is so important. So I think replacing BPC, in fact, in my sort of longevity stack, I have people at least four times a year, even if they're not having pain, and I have them do a course of BPC because it's going to be so reparative and so protective.
And how long?
If you're an athlete, this is something you should be on.
And how long if they're going to do it four times a year? Would they do it for a month or?
I should do a 6-week course.
6 week as oral or injected? Would you usually do?
I usually, from a longevity perspective, I'll do it as injectable. So, but the oral probably works fine. My belief is still injectable is probably a better way to go, except for gut. For gut, definitely orally is better. But for general systemic effects, I still think that the injectables are a little bit better way to go.
You know, it's great for joints, tendons, ligaments. How about Achilles, tendonitis, and tendinosis?
So that's a great thing. So one of our, again, this is a place where injecting it kind of close to the site, and you don't have to inject it into the tendon, but you inject it close to the site. Even so, if I have, you know, a shoulder tendonitis, right, I can just grab a little skin near my shoulder. I had rotator cuff surgery about 7 months ago, and, you know, so I did a lot of BPC enzymes and beta 4 to heal my shoulder, and you know, just grabbing a little skin and injecting it. If you can't do it yourself, have someone else do it, but you can just grab, so you just kind of grab a little skin by the Achilles tendon. BPC injected close to the site seems to have better effect than just injecting it systemically. So if you're trying to very specifically heal an injury, so we will do, like with Achilles tendinosis or tendonitis, you know, a combination of you know, like platelet fibrin with exosomes and maybe some shockwave therapy, or what we use, what's called stem wave, which is an acoustic wave, and then following that with a course of BPC, and you can heal those really nicely.
But I mean, that's great stuff. And how about for knee pain?
So I just use this usually, again, subcutaneously, again, near the knee, which is great. I know that Edwin Lee did a study, a very small study, but he did a study injecting it intra-articularly into the joint and had very good effects with that. So it can be injected intra-articularly. I don't know that you really need to have it injected intra-articularly. I think it's very effective just injected subcutaneously. So, but you know, perhaps if somebody's having recalcitrant knee pain, it's something worth trying because it appears to be safe injected into the joint.
I mean, it's great, and I think it increases nitric oxide also.
Yeah, as does thymosin beta 4.
They both increase nitric oxide.
Yeah, we almost always for musculoskeletal will pair those two together.
Well, we're finishing up our first segment with Dr. Elizabeth Yerth. She's nice enough to come back next week, and we're going to talk to her again about different peptides, where we'll work on the pineal gland and neuropeptides. Dr. Yerth, if people want to find out more about you, how could they do it?
You should go to bodalongevity.com. That is our institute. We also have a really cool Learning Academy, guys, where we actually try and keep our Academy members up on all this new research. So it's Human Optimization Academy. So you go to BLI.academy. You can join that. We have Q&As every month that are much like this, where we just get to talk about, you guys ask questions, we get to talk about all these cool things. I try and keep all of that group up to date. So if you go to bodalongevity.com or BLI.academy, those are two places you can go and learn some more.
This is Dr. Kerry Gill. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Well, the weather's warming up and summer's just around the corner. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people, you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.